Okay, welcome everyone. This is the International Screenwriters Association teleconference with Jeff Ballo. My name is Lori Lamson. I'm a screenwriter and I'm the co-editor of Now Write Screenwriting. It's a book of writing exercises by 94 writers and teachers. So I'm here on behalf of ISA to interview Jeff. And ISA website is www.networkisa.org. So just to let you know, we're planning to do two teleconferences a month. They're always going to be free to the members. If you have any questions during this call, please send your name and your question by email to networkisa@gmail.com. That's networkisa@gmail.com. And I just want to mention in advance, there's a little delay on the call, so we hope not to be interrupting each other. But if we do, that's the reason. It's because there's a delay. So let me quickly introduce Jeff to you. He has a company called Fast Screenplay, and Jeff Ballo is an award-winning Los Angeles-born producer now based in Sydney, Australia. After searching in vain for screenplays to produce for over a decade, he took 2 years out to build the world's first and only step-by-step feature film screenplay development system. And at the end of this conversation, he'll be telling you about a new pricing structure, I think also with a special deal for ISA members. So, Jeff, can you tell us how you got into producing and got on this path?
Okay. Let me start by saying thank you to everybody who's joining us today. And this is my first attempt at a teleconference, so bear with me if we stumble a little bit, but it should be a lot of fun. I've got a ton of stuff to sort of get across, and we're gonna start by sort of just talking a bit, and then we'll open it up to questions. So if you have any questions, be sure to send those emails to the email address that Lori just gave you, so that we can make sure that we cover everything. I want to make sure that we cover as much as we possibly can in this call. So now, as far as me and my background, I was born and raised in L.A., so I kind of did the opposite of what everybody does. I started in L.A., and I ended up leaving and going somewhere else. Everybody else seems to start somewhere else and go to L.A. So, I started in the industry when I was about 12 years old as an actor. I fell in love with the production process and basically got to the point where I was doing pretty much every job on a film set. I worked briefly for a guy named Roger Corman in L.A. who had an independent film studio that made sort of straight-to-video, low-budget, you could probably call them schlocky movies, straight-to-DVD. And the great thing about working there was that you worked on multiple films. You know, in the span of about 5 months, I worked on five different films, doing all sorts of different jobs. So I kind of fell in love with the production process, with making movies, with all that sort of thing. So when I got bit by the travel bug and I moved to Australia and then to New Zealand and fell in love with the place down there, it occurred to me that it would be a great place to actually do something like what Roger Corman had done. And so I created this vision of starting an independent film studio that would produce like 3 to 6 films a year, because their budgets are a lot smaller. And if you made things that were sort of market friendly, it wouldn't take too much to be able to recoup your investment and then make more films as you go. So what I did was I started looking for screenplays, which turned out to be not quite as easy as it sounds. I over the course of about 6 months, I got in about 300 scripts, and this is about 10 years ago now. And one thing that I found that was kind of universally true is that they were all, I guess, to be delicate about it, dreadful. So they were dreadful for a variety of reasons, and sometimes it was the idea was bad, or sometimes the idea was good but poorly executed, or the characters were not great, or it didn't understand budgets, and it didn't understand the markets, and it basically didn't understand what I, as a producer, needed in a screenplay. And because we don't have a lot of money in Australia for development, you're basically in a situation where you need the screenplays to be of a better caliber so that you can, so that you don't need the development money to get yourself all the way to production. Because what happens is, in Australia, there's a lot of, it's largely a government-funded industry. There's everybody sort of relies on government funding. So everybody's competing for these small sort of development dollars. And so everybody's writing movies for that kind of market. What I wanted to do was make something a bit more mainstream, that could be a bit sort of more market-friendly.
So, Jeff, when you say that these scripts were bad or something wrong with them, can you be a little more specific? Is it that the idea you feel is not universal enough, or I'm not sure?
Well, there's actually quite a lot of things. Okay, so I should add that in the 10 years since then, my production company has received over 15,000 submissions, and I have found that 99%, and that's being generous, of all submissions to a production company are literally not even usable by a production company. So the reasons are, they're across the board. It starts from, just this is an idea that it would be impossible to market, or this is an idea that, while it's a good idea, the budget's all wrong. You've written a really big budget, lavish budget project, and the market for this kind of story is very small. So, it can be anything like that to, maybe you've got a great idea, but your execution of it is poor. It's structured poorly, or the characters are not very compelling. We don't care about them. Or something as simple as I start reading, and by page 5 or 10 or 15, I'm just bored. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm supposed to care about this story. So, it's all the reasons that you sort of learn about from everywhere. Structure it well, create compelling characters, create engaging dialogue. The basic issue, I guess, is that for Australian production companies, and this is kind of true everywhere, in the independent world, there's just not a lot of money for development. And because there's not a lot of money for development, the scripts kind of need to be a better quality when they come to us. So kind of anything that goes wrong, you're immediately looking at the script and going, yeah, that's going to cost me money to fix. Who's going to fix that? I can't afford to pay for, great writers to come in and fix up the project. As I'm reading your script, if it's not sort of solid, then I can't really have faith that you have the skill to make it solid. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. So, Jeff, a lot of times screenwriters, I think that their story is getting onto the page as they're seeing it in their head, but a lot of times it just doesn't get expressed.
No, that's often the case, and so you definitely need to get feedback on your work, and you need to learn how to adapt your work to what the reader needs. Here's one thing I always say about screenwriting. It's not, when you look at a screenplay, there are very few words on the page. It's very sparsely written. And so new writers will often look at it as an easy form of writing because there's not that many words to write. But in fact, it's not that there's less to write. It's that there's more to imply. The reality is that because screenplays are written at a page a minute, we're emulating the cinema experience, but we have to do so with using very few words. So that's actually more difficult than if you could over-explain what's going on in the scene. So if you spend two paragraphs describing what a house looks like, well, you're basically telling us we're supposed to focus on this house for, 20 seconds, which is a long time. So, how do you convey these things in a way that is relevant to the reader? What you see in your head is a very full visual picture, but what we see on the page has to be very sparsely written but yet still give us that full picture. So developing objectivity is one of the most challenging things that screenwriters can reach for, basically.
Yes, I agree with that.
So I don't know if that answered that question.
Yes.
One of the things that I like to say is, when you have an idea for a movie, you don't actually have the brilliant idea for a screenplay. You know, you don't go, "Wow, I've got the most amazing idea for the best screenplay ever written." That's not what your thought is. Your thought is, "I have an idea for the most amazing movie ever made." Right? Like, you picture the movie, not the screenplay. But to go from idea to movie, there's actually two major phases we have to go through. First is from idea to screenplay, and then second is from screenplay to film. So those two stages, the first one is sort of steered by the writer, and then the second one is sort of steered by the producer. So
Right. The
problem that I find with screenplays and screenwriters is that they're writing material without the awareness of the other half of this process. You know, they're writing for what they see. They're writing for their own ideas and their own imagination with no consideration for what the producer actually needs, for what the producer's job is all about, for what the producer does or needs their screenplay to do for them to do their work as a producer. Does that make sense?
Yes. So what are the things that writers aren't aware of or overlook that producers need writers to understand?
Well, there's a lot of things, but we'll start off by saying there's really only one possible way that a writer can sell their screenplay. There's only one possible way, and that is if you write a screenplay that is exactly what a producer needs at exactly the moment they need it. It sounds really simple. It sounds maybe impossible, but it's not impossible. It requires something that most writers never do, which is an understanding of the producer's needs. Firstly, producers in general, and then secondly, specific producer, the producer that's right for your project. So to put it another way, what the only possible way you can sell a screenplay is if your work is aligned with the producer's needs.
Yes. Can you tell us more about what you mean by that?
Well, let's say you write a script that is that we both agree is fantastic, that we both agree is something that I love. But you send it to me at a time when I'm right in the middle of production on something else or post-production on something else, or I've got 10 different irons in the fire over here, and I go, "That's fantastic. I can't do anything with it right now." Well, guess what? We're not aligned, because we're partially aligned because we're aligned creatively with what the story is all about, but you're not going to make a sale because it's not what I need at this moment in time. Does that make sense?
Yes. So what would you recommend to that writer who's made this good connection with a producer, but it's not the right timing?
Well, what you need to do at that point is that you need to understand what they are aligned with. So the problem is that as soon as you start talking to writers about aligning with a producer, the writer hears sell out, sell out, sell out. And it's not about selling out. It's not about appeasing someone else. It's not about writing for someone else. It's about aligning with someone else. So when two people are aligned, because let me back up a step. So alignment is all about the team, right? If we say that to get your idea to a movie, we have to go through those two stages, first idea to screenplay, second screenplay to film, those two people who are managing those processes, the writer in the first stage and the producer in the second stage, they're not on opposite ends of the table. They're actually on the same side of the table. They're both on the same team, right? And the goal, the collective goal, is to get the film made. So a writer often will sit there and write their script and think, it's got to be just this way, and it's got to look just like this, and this is how you should cast it, and this is how you should shoot it, and this is what kind of budget it needs, and all these things that the writer thinks because they're imagining the story. but that story's never going to become a movie without the other part of the team, without the producer, and by default, the director and the actors and the crew and all the people that the producer will be managing and the investment dollars that the producer's going to try to find. So alignment isn't about writing something the producer wants. It's about aligning your creative needs with their business needs. Does that make sense?
Yes. So how do they do that? Did you have more things that we need to understand?
Well, this is going to be a career-long skill that you're going to be building over the course of your career. So it's okay, to understand a lot, here's the thing. I so often get from writers the question, how do I pitch my project? Or, you know, what's the best way to get my log line to somebody? Or, you know, what's the secret to getting noticed with my project? And so often the answer is, don't worry about it. You're not there yet. First of all, if you wrote a script that was, if you write a script, is it brilliant? Is it getting amazing feedback? Are you going to a coverage service and getting recommends all the time? If so, you're ready to send it out. If you're getting great feedback, if it's a tight, gripping page-turner screenplay, if when the reader picks it up, they can't stop until that last page, every single time, and they drop that script down and go, this is amazing. If it's not that, it's not ready. If it's not that, you're basically asking a producer to take 2 hours of their time out of their life, out of their very busy schedule where they're trying to juggle a million things, and saying, here, please read this. I know it's not ready yet. Why would you want to do that?
There's a lot of writers, I think, we don't necessarily recognize how many rewrites is necessary just to get it ready to show to a producer.
You know, I read this really interesting thing the other day about Little Miss Sunshine. I guess he wrote it in 3 days, but then he rewrote it 100 times over the next year. So it doesn't matter how. One of the things I'm very fond of saying is this: it doesn't matter how fast you write your screenplay. All that matters is how fast it reads. You want to make sure that when they pick that up and they start reading, they're hooked and they read this thing. That if somebody reads your screenplay quickly, if they read it fast, if they can't stop help themselves from turning those pages, they're going to be – that means they're connected to your story. That means they're emotionally engaged. That means they're hooked in. They want to know what happens next. They want to know how this story plays out. Have you ever read a screenplay where you start reading it, and you've probably done this for your writer friends. Nobody has ever done it for your script, of course, but you've always done it for your writer friends, where you start reading the script, and like 2 pages into it, you're like, oh, my God, this is going to take me forever. And it's because they haven't crafted an experience for you. You know what I mean? They haven't crafted a story that is going to pull you in. You know, ultimately, the screenplay is – the screenplay is the written version of the movie, and that sounds obvious, but it should play just like watching a movie. It should be it's 1 page a minute. The reason for that is so that it emulates the cinema experience, so that it's like you're sitting in the theater watching the story unfold. It should play upon you the same way. And it sounds obvious, but writers often, because you're taking your idea and you're trying to get it onto the page, you have the idea very clear in your head, and so your focus is getting that idea onto the page. You're not actually thinking about how to get it from the page into the reader's mind. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I've had that experience. I think I'm getting better at this myself, of going back and not worrying about that at first, but then going back and making things tighter and tighter and realizing I don't really need this here. This is a little extra.
Well,
it's not necessary.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. Writing is a process. Writing is not sitting down and typing. That's called typing, okay? Writing is designing a story, getting the story onto the page, making the pages into a solid story. Because when you go from brain to page, it doesn't come out perfect. It can't come out perfect. Here's the thing. If you have an idea in your head and you try to get it onto the page, what happens is in your mind, the idea is perfect. In your mind, your story is brilliant. Your characters are wonderful. Your dialogue is fantastic. Because in your mind, any part of your story that you don't yet know, your brain basically says, I don't know what's going to go there, but something brilliant is going to go there. But once you put it on the page and you write it out, then you have the black and white words looking back up off that page to you. And as you read it, you go, yeah, you know what? That something brilliant didn't really go there. Do you know what I mean? So the problem is when it's in your head, you have the feeling attached to it as well. When it's on the page, it's detached from you. It's not in your head anymore. So you can see it more objectively. So every time you write, your first draft is kind of going to suck, okay? Well, maybe not suck, but as you get better, your first draft will get better. But your first draft is never going to be your best draft. It can't be, because you have to get it out of your head and onto the page. And then you have to work those pages to make the story experience come off the page in the same way that you felt it in your head.
Yeah, so we have a question. How do you get it to play like a movie? Do you have more specific methods or ways that you want to talk about on how to get the reading experience to be more like experiencing the movie?
Well, okay, so yes, I mean, there's a lot of techniques that we have that you can find in lots of places. I don't want to go too much into the specifics of how to write the screenplay, because kind of today what I want to focus on is sort of this producer's perspective and understanding what the producer needs in your project. So as far as how to do that, yes, but it takes me several months to show you how to do that, as it should, because it's a process. So the point that I want to make, basically, is that writing is a process. You have to think of it as a process, and the process has four major parts. And the four major parts are take your idea and turn it into a story, then secondly, get your story onto the page, and then thirdly, make your pages a solid story, and then lastly, turn the solid story into a gripping read. So that's the process, and every writer everywhere on the planet is going to use that process, whether you do it consciously or unconsciously. Some writers like to sit down and just sort of bang out stream of consciousness words, and you sort of go down this path. But that's basically just skipping the first section. So that's okay. You can skip that first section. But if you shape your story before you try to get those words on the page, you can be more deliberate in the process. Does that make sense?
Yes. So basically, you do have to go through these four steps in general. And writers, you think, have a tendency to skip some of them before they show a script to a producer?
Yeah, and it happens all the time. And so writers are just banging out a draft. I can't tell you how many times people have submitted something to me proudly saying, I wrote this in 3 days, or I wrote this in 2 weeks. And as soon as I read that, I don't want to read another word, because if you've only put 3 days into this, why should I give you 2 hours?
Right, it's a red flag.
Because the thing is this, right? A screenplay, to properly read it, takes about 2 hours. Just like watching a movie is going to take 2 hours. So every time you send your script out to somebody, you're basically saying, I would like you to stop your life for 2 hours for this. So think about that. If you could get, you know, name your favorite director or your favorite producer, if you could go whoever is ideal for your project, should they really stop their life for 2 hours to read the script that you have? Now, maybe you say yes, but are you saying yes because you know for sure that this is exactly what they need at exactly the moment they need it? Or are you saying sure because you just want to get it into their hands and you have this sort of dream that they're going to say yes?
That's a good
question. You know, the reality is
this. Writers need to ask.
Yeah, it's a, It's a very you know, it's a very complicated business, and there's a lot of money at stake, and there's a lot of time involved, and there's a lot of people that are going to get involved in any project that we make. I tried to make a little low-budget film. We spent 7 years working on it before we had to abandon it. Think about that. That's a lot of time. Like, it's made me very cautious. When I read scripts, my brain says, do you want to spend 3 to 5 years on this project? And
wow.
The vast majority of the time, the answer is no, as it should be. Right?
Wow. Yes. So let me just remind the listeners, if you have any questions and you'd like to send them, please email to networkisa@gmail.com. That's networkisa@gmail.com. Your question for Jeff and your name. And we'll try to get it in here. Thank you. So, Jeff, what do you want to tell us? I know you have several things that you feel producers wish that every writer knew.
This concept of alignment, of having your creativity aligned with their needs, happens one of two ways. Either they're aligned with you or you're aligned with them. When they're aligned with you, it's because you've written a script, usually that you're passionate about or that you care about or that you've poured, you know, months or years into. And you've written a script that you love, and you send it out into the world, and somebody reads it, and they go, I love it. I'm going to stop everything I'm doing. I'm going to make this film. It doesn't happen very often, but that's them being aligned with you. You being aligned with them is you figure out what producer is perfect for your project, and you get it into their hands. Easier said than done. I know we've got strategies for that in the system, but it's too complicated to just sort of explain on the teleconference call. But getting it into their hands is the key, and getting it into their hands at the time that they need is key. Now, if you have a project that's neither one of those, you may still have a project. You may still be able to align with the producer to create something with that producer. But in order for that situation to happen, they're going to need to see one of the scripts from Category 1. They're going to need to see an amazing screenplay. So one way or another, you're going to need that spec script that leaps off the page and grabs them by the throat and says, this is an extraordinary story. So that needs to be your goal. And you shouldn't even think about your log lines and your pitches and your synopses and all this stuff and how do I capture the attention of the producer until you have that. Because consider this. If, let's say you go to one of these workshops or seminars or whatever that tells you how to create an amazing log line, and you create an amazing log line, and then you go to another one and you learn how to create an amazing synopsis or pitch or whatever, and you create a great synopsis or pitch. So you're thinking, if I pitch somebody my idea, they're going to say yes. So you craft this log line, you make the synopsis, and you send it to somebody like me. I go, wow, this is a great log line. Let me see the synopsis. And then I read the synopsis. I go, wow, this is an amazing synopsis. Let me read the screenplay. And then the screenplay comes in, and it's just not ready. It's awful. It falls apart. Well, you've actually wasted more of my time than if you had sent me a crappy log line in the first place. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the point is, don't grab for the tricks. Don't try to figure out the shortcuts. There's no shortcut here. I would love to tell you there's a shortcut, because I could probably make a lot of money out of that. But unfortunately, writing is a craft. It's a very complicated craft. Screenwriting is very complicated. It can be done. I can show you exactly how to do it, but it's complicated. It takes time to do. So don't try to scam your way in, I guess. The producers are not interested in an idea, because we can't film an idea. If you have let's say you write a treatment, there's a reason treatments don't sell that much, like one-page treatments. Because if you just write a brief little story idea, we still have to turn it into a screenplay. And turning an idea into a screenplay takes time and money. So who pays for the time it takes to write a screenplay? Either you're going to pay for it with your time, speculatively, hoping that one day somebody will pay you for it, or we have to pay for it by hiring a writer who can do the job. But if you hire a writer who can do the job, you may have to keep hiring them to do more rewrites until you get it perfect. It's a very expensive proposition, right? So ultimately, you have a brilliant idea for a screenplay. That's wonderful. You have to turn it into the brilliant screenplay. Does that make sense?
That's one of the things. We have to get our screenplay. We have to take our craft very seriously and get our screenplay into a really shining example of our story. Are there other things
that
producers wish we knew?
Yeah, absolutely. And so out of the six things that producers wish writers knew, number one I would say is you need to understand our job to understand yours. Now, because turning the idea into a movie involves both creating the screenplay and turning the screenplay into a film, if you don't understand what the producer does, we will be able to read in your screenplay the fact that you don't know what we are to do with your script. I'll give you an example. Let's say I don't know if everybody on this call understands how screenplays are written and formatted, but they're very sparsely written. You're not going to over-describe a setting. You're going to just, usually have one or two lines tops to sort of describe what the house feels like, If you were to write half a page on what this, on the detail of what this house looks like, and it doesn't relate to the story really in any way other than texturally, then it basically says to somebody like me, you don't know what I do, because if you knew what I did, you would understand that this is that the one page per minute is what we're going for here. Do you know what I mean? You would understand that you're writing a production blueprint and not just a novel-style story.
Also that other people are going to be involved with creating what that house is and what it looks like.
That's one of the other items on my list, is that you're part of a team. The writers, it's very easy when you're writing, because most writers are writing in isolation. I write best when I'm alone, and I'm sure you guys write best when you're alone as well. So we swim around in our own brain, and it's very easy to think that we're the god of this world, and we have all the answers, and there's nobody else involved. But ultimately, the screenplay is a multi-purpose document. It is first and foremost a story that is it's a film story. It's a story for a movie on a screen that's going to affect an audience. So it has to affect the audience in that way. But secondarily, it's a production blueprint. It's literally the guide for the production process. So all those people on the team need to be able to see in that something that they can use and excel with. Consider getting an amazing director versus getting an ordinary director, right? Somebody whose work you weren't terribly fond of. If you write a script that appeals to the amazing director, they're going to bring a voice and a vision to the project that they can get excited about. That if they read your script and they see no room for direction. There's this old thing of don't include camera directions. You know that one?
Yes, of course.
Right. So don't you include things like dolly in or track forward or, we zoom across. Don't refer to the camera in your script. And the reason is partly because if a director is reading that, you're directing for them. And you're basically telling them whatever you might come up with, don't worry about it. I can do it better than you can, which is just not appealing for a director. Do you know what I mean? The director wants to read a script and go, I've got a great idea for how to tell this scene. And we're going to use their creativity and their imagination to enhance this process. Film is a collaborative medium. And even though you're working in isolation when you're writing the script, you've got to think of yourself as part of that collaborative team. Does that make sense?
Yes. And what are your six tips specifically? I guess we're getting at them one at a time.
We're sort of going at them. Okay, so another one is that our time is valuable. The number three I put as our time is valuable. You know, I'm not saying that a producer's time is more valuable than the writer's time. I'm simply saying that the producer's time is valuable. You know, going back to the other one of you need to understand our job to do yours. There are basically two kinds of producers, as I see it. There are deal producers and there are physical producers. Deal producers are the ones that run around making deals. They, you know, talk to this guy and get to know that guy so that when a project comes along, they can make the connection between this guy and that guy, put people together, and make the deals happen. The physical producer is the guy who's going to manage the process of turning the script into a film. And the physical producer is the one that's going to make sure that the investor's money goes all the way to the end and doesn't run out halfway through. They're the one that's going to bring the actors and the directors and all these people on board. They're the one that's going to stay with the project long afterwards and make sure that there's a return on the investment through sales and distribution and all that stuff. So now sometimes those two roles are one and the same person, and sometimes they're mixed into two or five or nine different people, as you notice when you watch the credits on the film. So to understand what your job of writing the screenplay is, you need to understand what we're going to do with your film. So what we're going to do with your film, when you send your script into us, we're basically evaluating it from all those different standpoints. You know, I've got all these all these balls in the air that I'm juggling, and, you know, who I know and where I've been and how this connection might work with that other connection. And if I get a script in and it's perfect for these four elements that I've come across over the past month, then I might be able to get the script up and running quickly. But if not, then it's not aligned with what I need at this time. So you've got to understand that producers are always juggling. They're always trying to get all the resources they need. They're constantly trying to find money. They're constantly trying to think of how your script could possibly work with, is there any way that I can make this happen? And if I'm in a certain sort of train of thought, this is the production I'm working on at the moment, everything else gets shut out. So coming then back to this idea of number three, of our time is valuable, when you're asking us to take 2 hours out of our life to read this script, you're basically saying, I'm sure that this script is going to be something that will fit within your juggling. And you may know that, you may not know that, it may be impossible to know that. So you may have to take that leap and send it out there, but don't send it out there unless it's ready. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it seems like some of those things might be very hard for us to know, as in what actors you already know, what locations you have access to. Those are some of the considerations, I would think.
In most cases, I might even say, they're impossible for you to know. So the point is, if you submit an idea or a script or something to a producer, production company somewhere along the way, and they say no or they reject you, don't worry about it. It's not personal. As long as you're delivering the best quality writing you can, as long as you're creating for them a two-hour experience that's going to blow their socks off, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's got to be an action film. You can create a intricate little character drama that blows their socks off too. But as long as you're creating that experience for them, they're going to be able to earmark you as a writer. If you send them something that is in any way amateurish, you get pushed to the side very quickly. It's obvious immediately. You know, I used to, when I first started looking at scripts, I would read the whole script because I've written scripts myself, so I know how much time and energy and care and compassion you put into a project. And I think, you know, I can't not read this person's screenplay because they put so much into it. But, you know, after these things start stacking up on your desk, you go, I can't read all these screenplays when I know that the majority of them aren't working. So you start reading less and less. You figure out how to identify by page 10 or by page 5 or by page 1 if this script is going to be worth reading further. And it's a time-saving mechanism. It's not because producers don't like writers. There's this misconception that we're somehow against you. We would love to find amazing writers. If you ask any producer out there, what do you want in a great screenplay, they'll all say the same thing. I'll know it when I see it. It's because they can't tell you what they want. They want you. They want your originality. They want your passion. But they want it in a way that they can actually use it. Because most people who are putting their passion on the page aren't doing so in a way that's usable to the producer.
So I have a couple questions to ask you. Producers, sometimes you see a producer has a certain theme, a certain genre that they always do, but then you sometimes hear that producers that often do horror, they're still open to doing other things. Would it be okay to, how do you go about finding out, or talking, would you call a company and see what kind of stuff are you looking for now?
Possibly. I personally, we don't accept any calls because it's just you get inundated by people calling you. So we have a no-call policy. I've got on my website, there's a submissions form, and if you submit to us, all we want is the log line. If we like the log line, we'll ask for a synopsis. If we like the synopsis, we'll ask for the screenplay. That's it. Don't follow up. Don't call, because if we're not interested, it's not right for us at this point in time. Don't be upset about it. But
so that goes back to your time is valuable. So you are giving an opportunity to get to someone like you, and we just have to acknowledge that your time is valuable, and it's nothing personal that it's so kind of difficult to get to you, and we just better have something really good if you do want to read our script.
Well, the thing is, like, people think that producers are shutting them out, and there seems like this huge wall that you have to break through. But it's so easy to break. Well, it's not easy. It's very simple to break through. You just have to write something brilliant. Okay. So I mean, yeah, it's a complicated thing to do. But think about it. If you write an amazing story, okay. One thing that's so hard to convey to writers. And I'm going to emphasize it again. 99% of everything that gets sent in is unusable. If you write something great, it's immediately recognized. Immediately. If you think that your work has been slighted along the way, and I apologize, maybe you have been slighted by some people along the way. I don't speak for everyone, but if you think your work has been slighted along the way, I can almost guarantee you that it's not quite as good as you think it is, or it's not quite as effective as you think it is, or it's not connecting in the way that you think it should be. And it doesn't mean you need to chuck it out. It means you need to do another rewrite. I always say there's no such thing as a bad script. There's only early drafts.
Right, that's an encouraging way to look at it. And so let me ask you my other question, which is, can you give us some very specific, more examples of what earmarks a script as amateurish? What jumps out at you as, this is amateurish, it's hard for me to read through the whole thing or take it seriously?
Things to avoid are, well, it's more things to do. It's more, it's the sparseness of the writing. It's the evocative writing. It's dialogue that's not on the nose. It's it's the scene that is. If you set a scene in a house and that's all it is a house. There's nothing distinctive about it. There's nothing distinctive about your character. What am I watching? Why do I care? Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean that in the blasé way that it probably comes off. It's that, you know, our time is limited, so our time is valuable, so I need to know why I care immediately. You have to show me why I should care immediately. So often I'll read a script, and the character will be introduced on the first page, and by the third page, you have no idea who this character is. There's nothing distinctive about them. There's no way to recognize them. you know, as you watch movies, you have the visual cues. You have the actors on the screen. You can immediately recognize when a character returns in a room. But on a page, you only have the character's name. So there's got to be something distinctive when that character is introduced. It doesn't have to be, you know, every character has a scar or something, but it could be, you know, the character has done something in an engaging sort of way. They've handled the scene uniquely. They've handled the situation in a way that was unexpected. So the reader goes, wow, who is this person? What do they want? And then within that, we create the hooks that are then going to pull the reader through the pages.
And those hooks are things like,
sense?
What does this character want? And the themes start to come out? Is that what you're talking about, too?
Yeah, I sort of go into this in a sort of longer, more complicated way within my system. But there's on my website, there's a free video, and you can get a free report when you sign up for the newsletter. And basically, in the free report, I sort of explain how that works. There's a very simple dynamic at work, and it's essentially. I don't really want to give it away, but I'll give it away a little bit. So it's essentially you want to be making, as the reader reads through it, there has to be the promise of something more. So as they're reading it, something about what's happening puts a question in their head. How is this going to turn out? I didn't see this coming. This is a character. I don't know what this character is trying to achieve. So there's a question mark on each page that as they go to turn the page, they get that question mark answered while introducing a new question mark.
I see.
So, does that make sense? Like I say, it's a complicated idea that I go into in a lot more depth, even in the free thing. So.
Yes.
But anyway, that's also largely about the technique, right? So it's about... it's about the specifics of how you do that. And how you do that, I mean, writers, we live in this instant gratification era where it's like, give me the three tips. Give me the three tips that are going to make my screenwriting career. And it's like, you know what, though? It's not about the three tips. It's about the process. Can you integrate what I just said into your process so that at every step of the way in your process, you're checking the quality of these promises, the quality of these questions, and you're making sure that you're reinforcing that sort of page-turner nature of your story. Does that make sense?
Yes. I guess
so. It's not just about getting a quick tip, I guess. You know, and I get that that's what everybody wants, but it's like I say, it's not something that happens in a quick, spontaneous way. It's something that you build and you develop and you shape and you craft.
Yes, and I agree with you. I was asking, are there other things that you notice that, oh, this is amateurish?
There's a lot of stuff. It's how you present your script. I mean, like anybody who's not using a professional screenwriting software, it's so obvious. You know, just stuff like that. When you introduce, make sure your slug lines are formatted properly. Make sure the obvious things are good. Your formatting, your script is presented like a script. Then when we open that first page, set the stage. Here's a good idea. I believe that we shouldn't think of ourselves as storytellers. We should think of ourselves as story revealers. The idea is that every piece of your story should be revealed. The way to engage your audience is to bring them into your story and then to reveal a piece of information that takes it up a notch or takes it in a different direction or adds to it or builds upon it. So many writers will just tell their story. Here's what happens, and then here's what happens, and then here's how it ends. And it's like, okay, thank you. that hasn't engaged me emotionally. If you think about why we watch movies for one simple reason, emotion. They're an emotional experience. if you go to watch a comedy and you walk out not having laughed, do you like the comedy? No, you hate it. It wasn't funny. If you go to watch a horror film and you didn't jump at all, you're disappointed, right? If you watch an action film and you were yawning or falling asleep, it's the sign of an action film that didn't work, right?
Yes. So the
you go
the
to experience the emotion.
So the mark of the great screenplay is it really gives you a powerful experience, emotional experience.
It should, yeah. It should get, look, here's the thing. If you're, when you go to see a movie, if it's a dramatic scene or what have you, and there, you know, it brings you to tears, I don't know about you, but I'm a weeper. When I go watch movies and they're sad, I cry. I'm not ashamed of it. But when you read a script, I should cry reading the script. I should laugh out loud, not chuckle in my head saying, oh, that's funny. But I should actually out loud spit out a laugh in a comedy screenplay. If I'm not laughing out loud, it's not working. It's that kind of emotional connection that makes the script, because ultimately if I'm not laughing or crying or excited or enthusiastic or my heart's racing or whatever the emotion is that you're going for in that particular scene or sequence or movie, if I'm not experiencing those emotions on the page, I'm not going to experience them on the screen.
And that's what is happening in a lot of these screenplays. As much as the writer might have these feelings about their material, they're not successfully conveying it through that their writing of it.
That's right, because again, you're when the idea is in your head, you have all that feeling surrounding it. You feel it's a great movie. You feel it's a good idea. You have the your personal emotional connection to the concept, but when you put it on the page, it's stark, and it looks back at you from the page, does it still have that emotional connection? Sure, it does to you probably, but does it to your reader? So, like, part of, for example, part of my system is all about you know, how to deal with notes and feedback. Most writers have no idea how to take notes and to incorporate them into their work. But ultimately, you have to do that. You have to get the feedback and the notes and incorporate that into your work, because we can't put it out there just from our mind, because we're not objective enough with our own work, because in our mind it's swirling around, we're connected with it, we like the idea, that's why we sat down to spend a month or year or whatever it is putting the screenplay together. Of course you like it, so of course you're gonna, it's like if you make, it's like watching home videos, it's like, you know, wow, your trip to the Grand Canyon, Grandma, that was fantastic. Can we watch that again? You know, Grandma loves it, but, you know, nobody else seems to care too much. So
you brought up the topic of taking notes. I'm sure that is something that producers need screenwriters to understand their point in giving certain notes and how we need to be able to absorb them or respond to them. Do you have any advice about that, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, that there again is a big question. It's a big, there's a to it. But to me, you know, and at the risk of sounding like I'm talking about the system again, like the process of writing a screenplay, like I said, you have to go from idea to the story, story to the page, page to the solid script. That rewriting process is key. We've all heard the phrase, all writing is rewriting. Well, that's because when you get it onto the page, it is necessarily imperfect. So you've got to rework it so that the words on the page evoke what the feeling was in your head. So the way I handle that is we go through a very specific sort of six-layer process that covers all the details. So when we get notes later on, we get feedback, we can just filter those right into that same process. But basically what you have to do is you have to interpret and analyze the notes, because, you know, when people give you notes, what are those notes? Those notes are their opinion. And as great as their opinion may be, maybe it's a very educated opinion, but as great as their opinion may be, it's still their opinion. And here's a key point to understand. Here's a key point not to miss, and that is that there is only one person whose opinion matters. It's the producer who's going to buy your screenplay. All other opinions are just opinions. And this is the problem with the world of screenplay education, is because everybody's teaching their ideas. They're teaching their structure or their formula, or they're teaching their 200 techniques for improving this detail or that detail. And it's all fantastic. You need that stuff. But ultimately, for your script, there's only one way you can get where you need to go, and that is if the producer who's going to buy your script is aligned with your script. So that person is the only person whose notes matter. So what I think writers need to do is they need to get good at the skill of aligning two notes to notes and feedback. So you need to basically get the feedback that you can and interpret that feedback, understand if this is an opinion or if this is something objective, and figure out how to weave that into your rewrite process so that you're ready, you're skilled at the art of rewriting when the time comes to align with the producer.
Yes, and in my experience, I've found that sometimes there's a notes come from a producer, and I might not agree with what they're saying the solution is, but I'm seeing that there's a problem here, and it might be even a different problem than what the producer identified, but the fact that they're
absolutely
having
happens all the
problem,
time.
I have to address it.
Absolutely, and look, the producer's not always right either. They may have very, very specific notes, but it's simply because they're trying to articulate some detail that they can't otherwise articulate. You as the writer need to know your craft well enough that you understand what it is they're trying to articulate that they can't articulate.
Yeah,
does that make
so
sense?
I guess that's one of the things producers need us to know is how to interpret their notes in a way that's effective, even if it's different than what they're telling us.
Well, or how to take their note and align your draft to what they need, because ultimately, you know, maybe it is going to be about the specific note. Maybe it is going to be about this speech here is too on the nose, and I need you to, you know, smooth it out a bit, or I don't want her talking to him in that scene, or, you know, whatever sort of specific detailed notes you might get. Maybe it is about that, but maybe it's not really about that moment. Maybe it's more about the way the character in general reacts to this type of character, right? So it may be something that a fix could happen somewhere else in your script.
Right, exactly.
Right? So, most writers don't seem to appreciate, well, I should say most newer writers don't seem to appreciate that everything in your screenplay is interconnected. If you make a change on page one, it affects your story all the way through. You know, and so this is why rewriting is such a, you know, complex and challenging problem, because as soon as you start making changes over here, it has this snowball effect that ripples through your story, and affects the whole of the second act or third act, or you know what I mean. So that in itself becomes a fine art, to how to interpret notes and feedback, how to make changes in a way that's integrated with your story. So my approach to all that is basically to go from broad to narrow. We start with fixing things at the broad level, and then we move gradually to narrower and narrower levels, because something at a narrower level is going to impact upon the broader level. So, for example, if you have, let's say you've got a scene, and you read the scene and it's not working. If you change that scene, that may or may not change the whole act. But if you change, the problem may be that you need to change the whole act. Or the problem may need to be that you need to take a whole different tack in your story to convey the idea that you're trying to convey. So each one is sort of within each of the others. So So the narrower levels of your story are within the broader levels of your story. So my approach to it is basically going from broad to narrow through the rewrite process. But that's, again, for another day.
It sounds like a wise approach, though.
I had never seen it anywhere. So this was the, you know, everything that I've done, I had no interest in teaching screenwriting. I always thought there were 100 books out there. There's how many courses and classes and blogs and stuff. I don't want to teach this stuff, but ultimately I only did it because I couldn't find scripts to produce. And my goal was, let's create a simple step-by-step process that takes people all the way through it. And my, you know, whether you join me or not is sort of beside the point. The point is that everybody's got to go through the same process, and I wanted some way for people to be able to go through that process. So, you know, it's finding solutions to the problems that you face. And if you can't find any screenplays to produce, you're not going to be able to reach your goal of starting an independent film studio that produces 3 to 6 films a year. You know, it's not going to happen. So,
Jeff, are there any other quick things that a producer wishes writers knew before we take some questions from the listening audience?
I'm more than happy to open it up if we want to take some questions. There's plenty more I can talk about. I did have a couple other points that I wouldn't mind adding. I'll go through these last three. Point number four was that it's harder than it looks, and I think I think we might have covered that in a roundabout sort of way. Number five actually is an important point, though, that producers wish writers knew. And that, well, I'm not sure that all producers wish writers knew this, but it's the truth. And that is that we're always looking. We're always looking for material. Writers don't believe that. But the fact is that every producer is always looking for new material. And they might say otherwise, but they're only saying otherwise to protect their time. Because the fact of the matter is, it's part of the job description. We have to have multiple projects. There's an old cliche for producing. I have multiple projects in various stages of development, right? And the reason that's a great old cliche is because you have to have multiple projects in various stages of development in order to keep up with your juggling act. So as you meet new people, you don't want to meet, as a producer, you don't want to meet a name actor, for example, and then not have a project for them. So if you develop this great relationship, you want to have something, right? It's no good not to have projects for the it's no good not to have projects ready to go for when various resources come across your path. So we're always looking for projects. That doesn't mean that we're always open to accepting unsolicited screenplays. Very few producers will do that for the legal reasons and for the time reasons, but we're always looking. So if you have the passion for screenwriting, then pour yourself into it. Make your screenplays as good as they can possibly be, because if you can create amazing stories, they will get noticed. And then the sixth point that I wanted to talk about briefly was that we need you to be original. There's so much out there about writing formulaic stories. You know, it's such a hard thing to teach screenwriting. Even the questions that you've asked me so far today are very almost like specific on how do I do what I need to do to get noticed, more or less, right? And I think that's why the formulas pop up. If you put this story event here and this story event there and that story event over there, you're going to create an amazing emotional experience. And it's true that, you know, for example, the classic three-act structure, you know, it's a great story form. It works in a lot of situations. But you know what? It's also not right in a lot of situations. And there's this sort of belief that it's the only way, and it's not the only way. So the problem is that because screenwriting is so complex to teach, we, as screenwriting teachers, hook into these formulaic approaches which make the job of teaching it easier. But ultimately, what's the audience looking for? The audience is looking for a new, fresh, original experience. You know, read the comments on IMDb. You know, you can watch a movie, and people are bored by even good movies. They get bored by them, or they're uninteresting, or oh, we've seen that before, or we need fresh and original and creative. And the thing about screenwriting is that every writer on the planet is unique. Every person listening to my voice right now is a unique individual. You have experiences that no one else on earth has ever or will ever have. You have met people we will never know. You have story riches all around you that you can craft into an original story, and that's what producers are looking for. We're looking for something fresh, original, and creative, but presented in a way we can use. And it's that balance that is going to get you noticed. Does that make sense?
Yes. So I have a question that came in here. It sounds like a very specific skill set that we need to learn for screenwriting. I agree with that. Is that what we learned from your program? Is this a one-on-one type program, or is it more general and broad?
Oh, the Fast Screenplay. Fast Screenplay is a daily step-by-step screenplay development system. So, and sorry for the commercial, but I'll make it brief. You basically just each day you get a new step. You read the article to understand it. You do the exercise to complete it, and then you record your experience. And then the next day, you get the next step. And you do the next step, and then the next step, and the next step. As you do each of the steps, you move through this process I've described, which is you go from the idea to the story to the page to the screenplay, the solid draft to the page turner. Then you go to notes and feedback, and then you go step by step all the way to the sale. So it's the idea for it was a complete and comprehensive step-by-step system. My attempt to solve these problems that I'm talking about was to weave all of this into a step-by-step system. Because there's so much to try to get across. I can't do it in a day, and I can't do it in a seminar. I tried. I've done like 80 workshops all across Australia and New Zealand, and definitely try, and you just can't cram it out in a weekend. So as it was, and ultimately, I also believe that I can't teach you how to be a screenwriter. You have to teach yourself. What I can do is I can lay the steps out, and if you take these steps, then you basically through doing the job of screenwriting, learn the craft of screenwriting and teach yourself what your uniqueness brings to the equation that I couldn't possibly teach you. Does that make sense?
It sounds like an amazing program, actually.
I hope so. Look, I've poured 2 years into it, so I'm certainly hoping this. But I'll leave that for other people to decide. But I don't want to. I'm weary of getting too much into a commercial. So.
Okay, well, let's see if there's any questions from the listening audience now. How about that? So
Sure. Everybody
listening, if you have a question for Jeff, you can press 5-star, and Jeff can select if anyone is popping up.
Hello, what's your name?
Gary.
Gary?
Yes, from Hollywood, Florida. The question I have is, do I have to have a treatment, and how many pages I have to, how many pages should it be?
Treatments are a very specific document, and they're used in a wide variety of places. The short answer is no, you don't have to have a treatment. For me personally, I don't care about treatments much at all, because a great screenplay will do everything that I need a treatment to do. Treatments are more for the development process, as far as I'm concerned. Treatments are, if you don't know what a treatment is, it's basically imagine an extended outline that has like a paragraph for each scene. Like every scene in your story condense it down into one paragraph of what that scene is about, and then turn that into a sort of story flowing document. So it's written kind of like narrative prose rather than the way a screenplay is written. It's a great development tool because if a producer's working with a writer, then you can develop the treatment, and it's an easier way to see where the problems are because it doesn't flow through the same way the screenplay does. That's my take on it. A lot of producers love treatments. A lot of producers don't care about them, and like I said, we're all unique and we're all different, so we all have different opinions about it. In Australia, you often need treatments can often help you get development funding, so you would develop the treatment, get funding to then develop the script, but it sort of depends on the development process that you're going through.
So you might
as far as how long they are, they can be various lengths, but usually they're going to be quite long, 40, 50 pages.
Great. So it sounds like you might not need it, but it might be a really valuable process to go through, and a producer might.
I actually think it's a great idea for you as a development tool. I think it's a great. We do actually cover treatments. We do treatments in my system because it's actually a great tool for development, and that's the way I use them. So yeah, certainly learning how to do them is a good thing.
Let's go to another call if there's any there.
Hi, what's your name?
Oh, good day. How are you?
Good day. How are you?
Good, good. I've got a sort of an anecdote which sort of ends in a question, I guess, about the alignment issue.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with a TV producer in July in the States through a spec script I wrote for one of his shows, and I did what you said. I sweated over this draft after draft after draft before I actually put it in front of him. And he liked it, and he gave me 45 minutes of his time, which was fantastic. But he said, oh, look, the show's actually wrapping. There's no more than going to be done. But, you know, I might be having another show, but I won't know till the end of the year. So the tactic I've taken since then is to drop him an occasional email or Facebook message, very brief and like only like once a month or something, and he always replies. He's very friendly. And that's the way I'm trying to sort of fix the alignment problem, because he liked what I was doing, but he's not able to use anyone right now until he knows what the next gig's going to be. So I don't know if that's going to pay off, but it sort of seems to be keeping me in the loop. Is that, you know, that's a way I'm trying to solve that alignment problem for that issue. That sort of seems sensible to you, or is there risks with that you'd be worried about?
No, look, the TV writer had a TV show. You wrote a sample script for the show.
That's right.
What it is?
Yep.
Okay, and then the show wrapped up, so he obviously couldn't use your sample script, but you're now just sort of trying to keep in touch with him. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay, so that if you're trying to break into TV, writing a sample episode basically for the currently popular shows is a great way to. I mean, that's kind of how you get into TV as you write those kind of things. But the concept of alignment that I'm talking about is much more about what the producer is trying to build in their career. And what you are trying to achieve creatively in your career, I guess. Aligning the two together puts you together as a team. So by all means, follow up and keep the tenuous contact there. The thing that everybody should hopefully remember is that, like I say, we're juggling so much at any given time that it's very easy for us to sort of push everything in the past out of the way to go forward with sort of where the new direction is going. It's not personal. Don't take it personal. If the relationship with this producer doesn't sort of stay as, you know, effective as it looked like it was going to be, that's nothing personal. You just basically got to keep going and look for other producers as well. But certainly keep that contact going and build what relationships you can, because you never know if he's going to know somebody else that your next script is perfect for.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. I want to throw something in here, too, about TV. I've been hearing a lot that TV people nowadays, they don't just want a TV spec. They want to see more. They want to see even just a creative story, a play, or an original screenplay, feature screenplay. So should we
That's possible. Look, I'm not a TV producer, so I'm not sure. But that would make sense to me because, TV often is, it pulls what's best from the film world. And more we're seeing TV shows being treated more like film rather than the way that they have historically been. So,
exactly. So it's been evolving. So do you want to take one more question before we start to wrap up?
Sure. Hello.
Hi, Jeff. You make it sound like the alignment process and the writing, the screenwriter process is a pure chance. So whether it arrives on your desk at the appropriate moment. Therefore, it sounds to me that the best way of perhaps getting a producer's interest is to engage in parallel sending out of scripts to many different producers at the same time, rather in serial fashion. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, look, I ultimately, there is certainly a whole lot of luck involved, and I think anyone who says otherwise is trying to sell you something. But the fact of the matter is that you can get really good at this skill of alignment so that you can know how to – let me give you an example. Let's say you have a script – and it's a love story, and, you somehow are able to connect with Ridley Scott and send him your love story. Well, he might need it to be – you can imagine in your mind how he would need that to be changed versus if you then had Spielberg interested. Well, you can imagine how that change might be different. So when you think of this idea of alignment, think of how – what you would have to do to change your project to be creatively and professionally aligned with what those two different people, the kinds of things that those people make. So there's, as far as if your script lands in the right place at the right time, yes, indeed, there's a lot of luck involved in that. But luck is, there's an expression, luck is 99% inspiration. I don't know, I'm probably mucking up basically, you have to be prepared for luck. You have to have the project that is ready for them at the time that it happens to land on their desk that's right for them. Does that make sense?
Yes, thanks very much.
Did I answer your question or did I skirt it?
No, that's pretty good. I understand.
Preparation is opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. But the skill is doable. If you think about getting notes and adapting your script to meet those notes, that's largely what alignment is all about. It's about how do I make what I have suit what they also need. And that's going to be different for different producers. Oh, your other question was about parallel submission. Yes, absolutely. Don't worry about submitting it parallel. If you, unless you're represented by an agent and they have a submission strategy, don't worry about parallel submission because we all know that we can't get back to you immediately. I mean, if people submit to me, I can take from a month to 6 months or more to even say yes or no. So it's nothing personal. It's just we're busy, so we have to juggle all these things. So the act of submitting to different producers at the same time is absolutely fine.
Thanks very much.
No worries.
Okay, now, Jeff, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit more about your Fast Screenplay program, your new pricing structure, and I think you mentioned something about people giving feedback through your system. Is that you or a team, or how does it work?
Okay, so basically my system is a complete and comprehensive system. It's something that I actually designed it in 2004, and it was such a big thing that I said I can't possibly devote my time to putting this together. So 5 years later, in 2009, when I was still facing all the same problems and a bunch of projects had fallen over, I decided, you know, I got to bite the bullet and just do it. And I've spent 2 years, and now I've built it. So it's basically, I take the whole process of, and I break it down into seven phases. And the phases, those phases I told you before, there's idea to story, story to the page, page to a solid draft to a page turner. Those are the four key phases. They're the focus, apply, strength, and tweak phases, which is why it's called FAST. It's an acronym for focus, apply, strength, and tweak. Now, what my system does is it starts before that, because if you just take an idea through the process of turning it into a screenplay, well, then what happens if you write a screenplay that has no connection to what producers actually need? So I actually, before we do that, we start out with the setup phase. So I believe that everything in your screenplay is going to be either setup or payoff, or both. So if you think about any scene that you write, within that scene, you're setting up what happens next, or you're paying off what happened previously. So as part of the system's design, we have a setup phase at the beginning and a payoff phase at the end. And then in between the payoff phase and the end of the tweak phase, we have the alignment phase. So basically, the setup phase, we prepare you for this journey ahead. We go into, what producers actually need, not just what everybody says they need, but here's how the business works, and here's how you as a screenwriter are involved in that process. And then from that point, your creativity is pre-aligned with what the industry needs, and then we go through those four stages. And then when we're done, there's the notes and feedback phase where you will learn how to deal with the notes and the feedback and be able to rewrite, again, systematically to turn your draft into exactly what the producer needs. And then at the end of that, we go into the payoff phase. And this is what I'm sure everybody's on the phone for, is how do I get my script to a producer, or how do I get my idea noticed? And we do that at the end because it's pointless to do it at the beginning because you're wasting your time and you're wasting the producer's time. So basically we show you how to go through this entire process, and then at the end I show you step by step how to go from I have a production ready screenplay to I'm connecting with the producer. So it's literally creating sort of a one of a kind path to the sale. That's what Fast Screenplay is all about in a nutshell. It's a daily thing. So each day you log on, you get the next step, you do the next step, and then you move through the process to the one after, to the next step after that. As you go through, you're basically experiencing the process of writing production-ready screenplays and getting them all the way to the sale. So the pricing has always been done as a whole system. And so unfortunately, it has looked expensive, but it's actually quite cheap for what it is. So in order to emphasize that it's cheap, the sort of major announcement that we're doing today is we're introducing a three-month subscription pricing option. So for three solid months, if you do the system as described, you would have an organic story-building system that you can use on every future project. So in that 3 months, it's every day for 3 months, or at your own pace. You can stop, you can pause the system, you can come back. So we're doing a 3 month subscription for $249, which is I would say the best price for anything like it in the industry. I searched for something like this for years and couldn't find anything, so I basically took it upon myself to build it. So we're now basically expanding that. If you let us know that you were on this call and you mention, there's a little question on the sign up page for how did you hear about us. If you say ISA teleconference call, then what we're going to basically do is give you $25 off if you sign up for the whole system, or if you sign up for the $249 price, then I'm giving you an extra month free. So that's enough time to get all the way through the apply phase and have your first draft.
Wow. Sounds like a steal, and sounds like an incredible program. I want to ask you real quick on the feedback phase. Are you yourself giving feedback, or you're helping people get to figure out how where to get feedback?
So the feedback is a big issue. One of the problems is that if I were to give you feedback, then you would start to write for what I want or for what I like. And I'm not going to be the guy producing everybody's screenplays. I just can't. I hopefully there will be people who want to write stuff that I can make, but don't do that because you think it's – don't do my system because you think it's a way to – you know, get in with me. Like, ultimately, do it because you think it's a good process, a good system. But ultimately, I don't want you to be reliant on any person. One of the things that I find is that screenwriting teachers very quickly become screenwriting gurus. And whenever you're led by a guru, you're naturally inclined to do what the guru says to do. And you filter everything through what would the guru do. And ultimately, I believe that you're an original, and I believe that your life has the original elements that will make for unique original stories. I want you to tap into that. I want you to basically find your own voice and present your stories in your own way. So I rather than teaching you what I want to teach you how to deal with what anybody wants. So what I show you how to do in the alignment phase is how to align with any notes and feedback, how to interpret and analyze the notes that you get, how to know if it's an opinion or if it's something objective, and then what to do about it, how to sort of uncover the meaning underneath the notes. So it's not just about what Jeff thinks about what you've written, but it's about what anybody thinks about what you've written. And it's a skill that you should master with as many people as possible.
Jeff, it sounds like such an empowering program. I think that sounds fantastic.
I hope so. I've put a lot of time and energy and love into it, so, yeah.
You have a lot of passion.
Yeah, I think that's a key to it. You know, I really, really believe that what I know from my personal experience that what producers need is original stories. And writers are so afraid to tap into their unique voice. And it's your unique voice that's going to take you in the direction of the story that only you can tell. I'm a non-competitive guy. I don't believe that we're all competing against one another. I believe all of our voices are potentially valid. But we need to present our voices in a way that can be used by the person hearing our voice. Right? So if you write a story that's, you know, that you're passionate about, but that is incomprehensible to the rest of us, well, that's great for you, but it doesn't do much for us. But if you can figure out how to tell your voice in a way that really profoundly affects the rest of us, well, then you've just created something unique. Think about all the best films that you love, the films that you care about. They have a voice. They have a vision. They have a... there's something unique about them. They're not a standard cardboard cutout. They're not somebody trying to write a story to appease what Jeff might think of it, or what the industry might think of it, or whether it's marketable or what have you. Those things are important, but they're secondary in importance. The primary importance is finding your voice, telling your stories, being passionate about what you have to say, and figuring out how to say it in a way that the industry can use. Because ultimately it's about alignment. It's about matching up that voice. If you create a story that you're passionate about, that I too am passionate about, that's when we can create great films. We're not going to create great films by, you know, checking off the numbers and figuring out what's going to have the best sales projection. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and thank you for bringing us back up to the big picture of this. It's so inspiring. I want to thank you, Jeff Bello.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to thank you for being on the call with us today. And thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And I hope that everybody's enjoyed it. And if anybody goes to my website, there's a free 10-minute video on the freebies page that is about the three fundamental problems of screenplay development. Watch that, sign up for the free newsletter, and you get one free report, and then another free report's coming next week, which is based on kind of what we talked about today. If you have any questions or whatever, there's a contact form there, and don't hesitate to get in touch.
Terrific. Thank you so much, everyone. I hope everyone enjoyed this. I want to remind you to visit the networkisa.org website. That's the International Screenwriters Association website. You can sign up for the newsletter. These teleconferences are going to be happening twice a month, and they're always going to be free for members. You do have to register for each teleconference separately, so be sure to do that. Also, we'll be posting this call on the website if you wanted to listen to it again or tell other writers about it. I'm Lori Lampson. I'm the co-editor of Now Write Screenwriting. The website for that is nowwrite.net. The next book in the series, Now Write Mysteries, is coming out the end of December. And I'm going to be at Showbiz Expo on December 3rd with one of the contributors doing a little writing workshop, if anyone's interested in that. December 3rd, it's free. Jeff, thank you so much for sharing all this great information with us. Do you have any last words of inspiration or advice?
Yeah, actually, I would say the last words are, firstly, thank you, everybody, for being here. This is my first teleconference, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. But I guess the last sort of message that I would want to leave you with is, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do it, because your voice is as valid as anybody else's voice on the planet. We all live this brief moment in time, and we all experience something unique. I believe that our job is to share what we experience, and if you have it in you, just pursue it. Don't listen to anybody to tell you you can't do it, because you can. It might be challenging, it might take you a while, and the success might happen in a different way than how you imagine, but it's all entirely achievable. I grew up around this. And I grew up in L.A. in the film industry, and I have friends that have achieved the very top level of success in this business. And I know that it is actually achievable. So believe that it is, and do your best work, and don't send it in until you know what the reaction is going to be. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.